Welcome to Spiritually Fierce, the podcast. I am your host, Dr. Ricky Jane Adams, principal and founder of the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence and creator of the Spiritually Fierce movement. Spiritually Fierce is not just a phrase. It is a movement of awakening consciousness of which we are all a part, if we want to be. In each episode, we'll explore what it means to be spiritually fierce, how to become it, and why it is the revolution in consciousness that will save the world. Join me and my fierce guests for deep conversations on spirituality beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the new age that will support you to increase your power to serve. Hello, dear beloveds, and welcome to the Spiritually Fierce podcast, season 3. I am so happy to be back. It has been a little bit of time since our last season. This season, we are talking about the theme of transformation, and I'm honored to be inviting graduates of the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence to join me and share their experience of their own personal transformations and how they've transformed their service in the world, just generally hearing really juicy stories. And today we have Dr. Leandra Brady-Walker, who is very dear to my heart. Dr. Leandra Brady-Walker is a pioneer in energy-based chiropractic. Now, Leandra has been all the kinds of chiropractors, I think, and spent a long time, certainly when I met her, as a network chiropractor. And now she is pioneering her own online, no-touch, energy-based model of chiropractic, which, as she will go on to share with us, is her efforts to contribute a decolonized, anti-patriarchal, decapitalized approach to working with energy medicine through the chiropractic model. I'll tell you a little bit more about Leandra. Seeking to go beyond the superficial and physical, Leandra interviewed Dr. Ricky Jane, that's me, on her podcast in 2016. But it wasn't until 2022 that she enrolled in the Institute's Method program. Something truly radical happens when you choose to face all parts of yourself, get over your own littleness, and embrace your God nature. Absolutely true. If you're on the video, you'll be enjoying my dog in the background right now. It seems to realize the camera's on, so she's dancing for us. Leandra has since become a cornerstone of the Method program. In fact, she is the first and only person trained to teach the Method other than me. And she will be doing her first workshop in Portugal in May 2024. And she's pretty much changed her entire life since coming into the Method in December 2022. And I would like you, Leandra, to tell us a little bit more about yourself in your own words. Specifically, where did this spiritual yearning begin for you?
That is an excellent question, because I would not have considered myself spiritual until I sort of did the Method. And it was quite a revelation, actually, sitting in your living room, learning about all this stuff and being like, whoa, like maybe all the ideas of spirituality that I'd seen before weren't really gelling with me. Like, you know, I never really was the type of person to get into tarot cards and astrology. Like, it was all fun, but I never really thought it was real. And it had to do with the way that you explained everything. And I am, you know, I studied chiropractic. I've got a health science degree. I'm very in that, you know, scientific world. And, you know, actually understanding that spirituality and quantum physics and mathematics are all the same language, I mean, that's what really did it for me. So I think my spiritual journey sort of happened when I started to understand that the conversation around spirituality is actually very different in the Institute than it is sort of in that mainstream spirituality, which I have to say, I don't love the idea of.
I love that you've touched on that, and the fact that it aligns with your mission with chiropractic is that so much of the contemporary spiritual industry is effectively a capitalist colonized model, right? Where we're appropriating from indigenous cultures, by and de-identifying them in the way we do that. And we're turning a lot of our spirituality into a kind of retail therapy or band-aid approach, which is that I can buy my liberation. I can buy, you know, my way. I'll just buy the crystal and I'll suddenly have all the intuition I want. So it you know, excites me that you could feel the difference in that. And I would say potentially then that definition of spirituality for you, you were probably always living in a way that I would call spiritual, but you wouldn't use that term because at that point it didn't feel safe for your identity. And there's a lot about your identity that we can talk about, because I think there was a big awakening to who you are as well as a result of studying with the Institute, which, you know, I do not take any credit for, but I think, again, being put into an environment that maybe allowed you to explore things outside of those normal paradigms was exciting. And I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about that.
So, I mean, and what I really want to point out and what I love about that is that you said you don't take any credit for this. And what I started to realize as well, even in my industry, is that as spiritual or as, like, you know, people who facilitate this stuff, we tend to have this idea that we're really, really special and that we have this special magic. And what I loved about being in the Institute and what I have now brought into my service as well is this idea that each person is their own healer, each person is their own authority. And we do, we have so much within us that is innate. And in chiropractic, we talk about the innate wisdom of the body and the innate healing ability of the body, yet we are still so indoctrinated to believe that people need to come to us monthly, weekly, whenever to get that special healing. And it never really gelled and aligned with me. And, like, I get it. I get, you know, it's so funny because one of my friends is a GP and he was saying patient retention, like, it's not a word that they use in medicine, but we use it a lot in allied health. It's like you get a person and they stay with you forever. And all of these chiropractic coaches, and God bless them, I love them, I've had many chiropractic coaches, they have taught me a lot of things, but one of the markers of success of a chiropractic practice is how long you can hold on to somebody. I still see chiropractors regularly. I still get, my husband's a chiropractor, I still get you know, and I still advocate for regular care. But it's different. It's not that you come to me and I have the special magic. It's that idea that each time I'm with you, I am connecting you more and more and more to your own godlike nature. And it's really interesting, the shift that has to happen within you. It sounds, and I thought I was doing it. I really did. I really thought that, and I think a lot of people think that they are doing it. But when you actually have to, and I've had to dismantle a lot of shit in my life. Like, I'm telling you, like selling everything, moving to a country that doesn't have as high cost of living, really, so I can dismantle this idea that, you know, I go into my practice to heal people so that I can live in this capitalist society. Like, and I get the paradox with it. Like, you're getting me at the beginning of my journey. So this is very clunky the way that I'm explaining this. But I mean,
I just want to pause there because it may be the beginning of your journey, but it's not the beginning of your lived experience, right? And I think all that's happening now is it is being given permission to come to the surface and be openly explored and investigated. And, you know, it's like we don't know what we don't know until we know it, right? And when we do know, we do better. And I just want to touch on what you're saying there, that, you know, you, in the time that I've met you, have completely revolutionized the way that you serve, dismantling an incredibly successful bricks and mortar chiropractic, network chiropractic business, making the choice to leave a small country town. I know it's not that small, but a small town in Victoria, where your identity as a brown woman is often, you know, those microaggressions are very much part of your daily life, and, you know, completely packing everything up, getting rid of all these things that you've accumulated, these markers of success, and moving your entire family to the other side of the world to be in a place, yeah, just lower cost of living, but, you know, Portugal is also a very forward-thinking, exciting place in terms of not being necessarily so aligned with this the oppressive capitalist regime. I mean, I love seeing that they have donated more money to Palestine since other countries in Europe have cut their funding. They had days in this year where they've been entirely solar in their power. You know, it's decriminalized drugs, recreational drugs. Like they are obviously divergent revolutionary thinkers, and it feels like a great match for you, also part of your heritage. So that's just a little context for everything Leandra was saying there. But going back to that, this is the first time perhaps there's been safety and permission for you to say, why does the world not work for me in the way that it has for others, despite how successful you've been?
Yes. And it's funny you say that about Portugal, because Portugal was a superpower for a really long time. Like, they invaded and they colonized a lot of places. And what it reminds me of is that with great power comes great responsibility. Like, I am still, even though I am a brown woman, like, I am still highly educated. I am, you know, cisgendered. I'm married. I've got kids. I have economic and educational privilege. And with that privilege comes responsibility. I think there comes a responsibility to be, like, really conscious about how we use that power and how we use that privilege. And, you know, with my educational privilege and my economic privilege, like, I can use that to help, and I can use that to be sensitive to the oppressions and what colonialism has done to people like me and to Indigenous cultures like mine. So, you know, for example, there are certain spiritual men who talk a lot about energy centers, right? And it's a de-identified paradigm of chakras. You know, that is Black, Brown, Indigenous heritage that comes from my own background that has been taken and used, and then used for colonial gain. You know, I even look at it in chiropractic myself, and I love chiropractic, and I'm so grateful that it has been, you know, given me all these things. But the more I go back and the more I research and I read about where chiropractic came from, I'm like, this is Black, Brown, Indigenous heritage. This is, you know, it's founded on such ancient wisdom that was taken, de-identified, and then sold back to us, you know. And I realize that this is a paradox, because obviously I am highly educated, and then I get to say, hey, I don't need any more education. I was, you know, like, had economic privilege, and I get to say, hey, now I want to, you know, transmute all that energy. It is definitely a paradox. But yeah, I just think that the deeper I get into this, and the layers I start to uncover, I start to realize that there is a very different way that we can do things. And I feel that the way that we are doing things, specifically, in my case, it's medicine and it's healing, but specifically the way that we are healing is a colonizer's mind. It is about separation. It is about individuality. There's a lot of talk about disconnection. There's a lot of talk about self-care over anything else. Like, I quite dislike a lot of those narratives, whereas I believe healing is community. I believe healing is coming together, and it's about sharing stories and about sharing energies. And my job is to create that container, that space, you know, no matter where it is. And it's interesting because I've had many people work with me for many years, and they've transitioned through all of my many phases and practices. And, you know, they've said to me it doesn't matter if I'm practicing in the front room of my house, or if I've got a beautiful practice on the main street, or if I'm online, or if I'm in a field somewhere, like, the energy is always the same. Yeah. And I think that's what I really learned from being in the Institute.
Yeah, I love that. And I think there's something very equitable about that as well, because, you know, one of the things that, you know, absolutely is so much part of the spiritual retail therapy of our current industry is, you know, going on these very expensive retreats or cruises with great spiritual teachers, or, you know, spending thousands and thousands of dollars to have experiences that most of the world are excluded from. And I love retreats. I am also very privileged, very middle class, very able to access things if I choose to. But the inaccessibility for most of the world is not lost on me. You know, the Institute has a very clear socioeconomic and developing country policy. Because of that, we know that not all incomes are the same. But if there is like this idea that there's one place in the world or one teacher, and unless you're in the same room as them, paying for their very high-end experience, you will not get the enlightenment that everybody else gets. That's the ultimate extreme spiritual capitalism and narcissism, right? That perpetuates that idea that we are all getting into nirvana one at a time. And it comes very much from that I'm looking to be soothed in my littleness. I'm looking to be comforted by the trinkets and superstitions of the New Age, rather than being given, that equitable distribution of awakening, access to the tools, and taking something online. A lot of people will say that it's not the same, right? It's more exciting and I'm getting more from you if I'm in the same room as you. It's like, well, that's lucky for you, but what about all of those people who, for reasons of disability or language or economics, cannot get into a room with you on a street in Ballarat, right? And exactly. Bringing things online, I mean, it allows us to have greater reach, do things at a lower cost, make yes. them more accessible, and effectively take away a lot of that hierarchical nonsense that I need to be on a cruise with some teacher in the Mediterranean in order to be having a really, really great spiritual experience. So excuse my little rant, but it really just occurs to me, you know, we do have this capitalist idea that we could buy our way into heaven, right? That we can want, you know, if we're lucky enough or we're entitled enough to be wealthy, that we'll get there faster, which is not news. That has been the way religion has been built forever, which is why religion and money are so often intertwined. I have so many things in my brain, but keep going. Well, I knew we were going to get
yes, it is exactly the reason I took Lumos Chiropractic and I turned it to Lumos Energy Body and took it online, because it was the most decolonized way I could think of to make my practice and my service more equitable. It's like, I want everybody to have access to this. Like, and again, like, we do live in a capitalist society. Like, I really love it. Like, I love electricity. And I do, you know, and D.D. Palmer, who started chiropractic, he talked about chiropractic being about the evolution of humanity. So it has nothing to do with back pain anyway. And he talked about it being, and it's so funny because it actually aligns very closely with what the Institute talks about, which is freeing humanity from superstitions and delusions. And there was another one, but the idea is that he doesn't, like, Dee Dee never wanted chiropractic to be about back pain. We talk about the art, the philosophy, and the science of chiropractic, right? So the science and the philosophy, we never change, okay? It evolves, it gets bigger. We now understand that the world is Einsteinian and not Newtonian. But the art of chiropractic, like, when the consciousness developed, when he developed chiropractic, it was like the late 1800s, like, it was your hands. It was your hands and it was in the room. But Dee Dee couldn't have dreamed of a world where we had the internet, you know, where we have access to be with people in a room where we can hold a bigger energetic container. Like, the consciousness has changed. And I totally believe that the art of chiropractic also has to change and we have to move with the times.
Yeah, Jamar. And I think that is, you know, applicable to many, many different modalities and ways of working with both the physical and subtle body. Is like, if we were not meant to stop evolving, and just because something's old doesn't mean it's powerful or important. And that call to antiquity is often a way we defend not evolving, right? Like, it's really old, so therefore we should just keep doing it the way we've always done it. But when we are willing to be humble enough to say, you know, what else is possible? How can this, you know, continue? How can I continue to be a contribution to that expansion of consciousness? I'm not going to, again, this is what religion does. It says this is the way it's always been, and this is what we're going to, you know, force you to adhere to, even if it's now completely out of date with the way we live our lives or not a reflection of where human consciousness needs it to be. And if religion was willing to evolve, it may not be losing followers in the millions, right? Because it would stay connected. So I think that's very, very powerful. And I love the way that you describe that, and you know, also really humbly grateful that the method and the Institute have been jumping off points for your own willingness to evolve. And as I say, to dismantle a very successful bricks and mortar business, which you could have easily hidden in. And I don't mean hidden as in you weren't seen, because you're very visible, you're larger than life energy, people love you, you know, dare I say guru kind of qualities to you. You could have stayed in the safety of that happily for the rest of your days. But that agitation that brought you into my living room, whether you knew it or not, was this emerging need to meet yourself at deeper and deeper levels. And I think that is the quality of person that we attract into the Institute. We're not looking for comfort. I'm not here for your comfort. I'm here for your evolution. You know, we say that all the time.
Yeah.
And so often spirituality is being sought as a comfort. And it's not, right? If you're truly listening to your intuition, you're probably going to be as uncomfortable as hell, because change is how we evolve.
Yeah.
I think that's why you are such an exciting example of this work, is that you're changing everything. I do want to ask you, what is your highest vision for your life as you make this transition? Maybe not in the details, but what is it that you're holding a vision for this Lumos energy body, for your life in Portugal, for all of this?
You know, I haven't really given myself permission to dream of this, but like I was thinking about this recently, and what I want is a legacy, and I want something bigger than me. And I feel like, I honestly feel like chiropractic is dying, and I've always kept calling myself a chiropractor, no matter how different everyone seems to think I am. And I feel like chiropractic, health, healing, this kind of spiritual, you know, this kind of way of healing, what I want my legacy to be and what I leave behind is that this is a paradigm shift. You know, it's that shift from that colonialist mindset that we have in all of the healing arts. Like, what my biggest vision is, that I hope that in my lifetime I see this shift, you know, that Lumos Energy Body is the beginning. I always say it's my Uber, like it's my Uber, it's my Spotify, like it's my Airbnb, it's the thing. Like, this is my legacy that I've created. And, you know, it's not that I want it to be like seen, but I wanted to create a movement. I want to create this movement of, yeah, like we are powerful enough to actually be the healers of ourselves, you know, to listen to that godlike wisdom, like that true essence of chiropractic. I want to see in my lifetime an evolution of the human psyche, and that sort of, you know, huge step forward. And I would be humble enough and just so grateful if I could be a part of that, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, humbly recognizing your power to do that, right? Because humility isn't about playing small, but playing your part. Like, what am I being called to do? And you certainly are answering that call, even in ways that you don't yet know, right? Because there's still a mystery in, okay, we're moving to Portugal. Okay, we'll see what this brings.
Yeah.
There's something in that I wanted to pick up on, which, you know, the Institute's methodology around intuition, or our philosophy, is that it's like effectively black magic to increase your own intuition, to train your intuition, to get more powerful at telling other people stuff with your intuition, right? That the whole point of training as an intuitive intelligence method practitioner is to support your client to increase their own intuition. And it really touches on, I think, that what you're desiring for this new paradigm chiropractic, which is that we are not doing this so we're more powerful to do stuff to others. We're doing it so we can empower others to do it for themselves. And, you know, I often say my goal is to make myself redundant.
Yeah.
It's because every time I'm with a client, I'm increasing not only their access to the tools and processes, but the frequency of permission to step into their own inner authority and self-reliance. And that is, I think, a really big difference, and picks up on everything that you're saying. It's a subtle and also enormous kind of difference, that it is all of us as our own gurus, as our own self-reliant healers, teachers, leaders, that will set the world free. And that doesn't mean we don't seek support when we need it, but we're not assuming that what we're seeking is outside of ourselves in the form of a teacher or a book or a program or whatever, but that those things are simply the triggers to awaken us to what is already within us, just dormant because, you know, we've been colonized, we've been, you know, all of those things. And it really aligns with that. And I think that's why you're the right person to take the method to Europe and be our teacher there, because it's in a way, you know, intuition, chiropractic, whatever, they're sort of like the window dressing, right? Like yeah. It's not about back pain, but we'll lure them in with the back pain conversation, right? It's like, how do we get the world understanding it is its own sacred, holy, ordained authority? And we'll use whatever tool we've been, you know, tasked by God to use, right?
Yeah. And like I looked at it as, because in the method we talk a lot about fear hunting, like what are we most afraid of? And the two things I realized I was most afraid of is being redundant and irrelevant and losing everything. So I was like, cool, how about I give up everything and turn my practice into a place where I will be redundant? Like,
yeah.
Why not go towards that? Because if I'm so scared of it, I can't hold on to it. Like, and it's so funny. I remember my funniest story is sitting in the method and, you know, doing the training and what am I so afraid of? And I'm like, oh my God, I've got this vision that I'm like ripping up my beautiful French sheets to like wrap my children's arms up. And because we're leaving and the vibe of our new place doesn't match those sheets, I actually sold those sheets like recently. I'm like, wow, I've come a really long way in a year. So terrified to let them go. And then, you know what? Like, and yeah, I think this is the thing. If you are willing to look at what truly terrifies you and actually give that up to God and go, okay. Like, and again, I like to say God, but you can use the word divine consciousness. I just, too many syllables for me. But, you know, if you really want to give that up and say, okay, this is what I'm terrified of. Like, so I'm going to do it and I'm going to give it to you and let's just see. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're right. I have no 10-point plan of how this is going to work, but like it gives me more angst to think about just staying here. And you're right. I have a very beautiful, very comfortable life. I had my dream car, my dream practice, like everything was beautiful. Like kids in great private schools, like everything. And like literally you wake up and go, cool, so this is it.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, the more we do this work in the deep way that we do it in the Institute, the more we recognize that the things that we thought would be the measure of our success, the things that we thought would bring us happiness, will not satisfy us anymore. And we then go willingly to surrender those things, inevitably knowing that more riches will come. And I don't mean riches in the form of the human dream, although that might be true, but the true thing that we are all seeking, which is moksha, that liberation. And, you know, for you, with everything that you're sharing, it is not enough. It would never have been enough to create your own little pocket of suburban paradise, no matter how comfortable and lovely, because your work is exactly as you say, paradigm shifting, community building. We are one. And so no matter how comfortable and happy and well off I am, if the world is still stuck in the nightmare of suffering and I am not doing the part that God has tasked me with, and you, God is the only word I'll let you use here, then, you know, I'm acting in bad faith. I'm using my manifestation tools and my energy understandings to just pad myself in comfort, to secure my own little slice of this world, and bugger the rest of the world. They can all burn because it doesn't matter to me because I'm good, right? And worse than that, in that spiritual narcissism capitalist idea, we will literally think that our successes in the material plane are because God is granting us those things, right? That God is good with us, that God is saying, well done.
Yep. And this is exactly why, full circle, we've come back to why I never called myself spiritual to begin with, because that never sat well with me. Like, I don't want to buy some amethyst crystal or whatever and then be like, yeah, cool, now I'm spiritual. Like, it never sat well with me that you could be a complete asshole and then you could drum a drum and be like, you know, you could buy the crappiest shit that really is just awful and, you know, like has made small children and flown around the world. And then you're like, no, but it was an amethyst crystal, so it vibes high. It's like, no, like you can't live. And I saw so many people, and I still see so many people living in this world where they like their actions do not align with what they're saying. And I love to follow people on Instagram who like make fun of like the, because it's true.
We
you
do.
can't.
Industry leaves itself wide open for
it
mockery.
does
And we need to, you know, we need to investigate that by laughter. Laughter is a great medicine for that.
Yeah, and I can laugh at myself as well, because yes, this is, it's all like hilarious in a dream anyway. And I realized it's so funny, because I was telling my friend, I was like, I don't need a fancy car anymore. It's like, I don't need a fancy car because I had it. Like, I get it. Like, we are still human. And, you know, we both have the same tattoo that says Anthropos, which is fully human and fully divine. And, you know, yeah. So it was this idea that I just couldn't reconcile what I saw in contemporary spirituality to what I sort of believed. And I believe, and like, as a chiropractor, I believe in living in full alignment and doing as you say and what you do. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that much in spirituality.
Yeah, we will wrap it up. But, you know, again, there's so many jumping off points here. And that word congruence that we use all the time in the institutes, like, are you a match between your actions and your faith? Like, are you walking your talk effectively? And I think for many of us, we aren't. And not because we're not good people, but I think that so much is left uninvestigated when we're seeking our spirituality as a comfort and not as a tool of evolution. So we hide from ourselves. And so we don't even recognize the hypocrisies of our actions, right? So I think that why the Institute matters and why it's probably supported you to take such bold leaps in faith is that, as you say, we go towards what is concealed, to the underbelly, to the underworld of our own being, those, you know, subconscious biases, to downright, all of the places that we create division and hate within ourselves, we then see in the world, and we can't hide from that. And there's nothing wrong with money, success, and power when they are no longer the measures of your success, right? When you're no longer motivated by them or believing that that is God granting you those things, like God is Santa Claus with a jar of cookies, handing them out to all the good white people who were lucky enough to be born into the middle class, right? It's a very big shift, again, that it can seem really subtle, but we are entitled to be in the world in whatever way we want to be, as long as we are conscious of the ways that we're showing up in the world. And I think that is what's missing.
And this is what is so, you know, that I have found has been so healing and so, you know, comforting about the Institute, is that we are really held to the fire. You know, we are actually held in a space where it is okay to go, oh, wow. And I can admit that I've done all of these things, you know, like I've definitely lived in a world and, you know, bought things and done things that weren't aligned with who I was because I wasn't conscious of it. And, you know, it's not, you're right. It is not about us looking back and being like, oh God, that's so bad. It's like, no, when we know better, we do better. And it's okay to muck up. It's okay to make mistakes because we're human. But yeah, it is about that really being conscious and having a really great space where you can fuck up. And oh, can I swear? We have to put an explicit now.
I never do, but we swear all the time on this podcast. So yes.
Yeah. So I mean, that I think that is what's really important, I think, with the Institute, is that there is never any blame or shame, but it is that, like, do as you say you do. And when you don't, we apologize and we move forward. But this is not about you're bad and I'm good. It's like we are all humans doing the best we possibly can. But hey, and that allows you to go, oh, wow, I can really take a deep look inside myself, because nobody's going to turn around and say, well, you were really bad. It's like we'll turn around and say, hey, cool, that's really cool that you've looked at that. Like, now what can we do?
Yeah, I love that. You know, I think if I was to wrap it all up, that shift that we're speaking about is when your service and everything that we do moves from what can I get to how can I serve, what can I give. And that does go against all of these programs that we're indoctrinated with, because it is all about get at the individual level. And I see it in your work, and, you know, how may it be of service, and your life is the demonstration of that, because it is like every time you make a bold leap in faith, you give permission to others to do the same, and you're doing it. I am very excited for the Intuitive Intelligence Method training in Portugal, led by Dr. Leandra Brady Walker in Tavira, the Algarve down south, which I have looked at all the pictures and have it on good authority is bloody stunning, and we should all go there. And that is happening May 5th to 9th, 2024. All the details you can find on our website, instituteforintuitiveintelligence.com. You can find us on Instagram as well at Intuitive Intelligence Institute. You can find Dr. Leandra Brady Walker at...
Leandra BW, underscore Leandra BW.
Oh, and you can also search Lumos Energy Body, and that should come up as well. But we'll put everything in the notes so that you can see that too. So grateful for your time, my darling. I know you are literally packing as we speak and navigating children who are not at school and all of those things as you prepare for your departure. And I am, really honored to, with every conversation we have, it's such a joy. And thank you to everyone for listening or watching, and we will see you next time.